I ask you to meet me in Acts chapter 17, and the verse is number 6, and the subject title tonight from Brother Ivory Powell, What Do We Want to Be Known For? What do we want to be known for? Brother Powell, will you share with us what it is we need to be known for? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Great privilege to be with you and the good brethren down in Houston, Texas. And we appreciate all of you people that are listening throughout the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we in Churches of Christ are people that want to be known for a lot of things. Now, a lot of times people have a lot of opinions about us. For an example, some think that the Church of Christ was started by Alexander Campbell. Others would say, oh, they are a break from the Christian church. Then there are those who would say, oh, they are just a denomination among the denominations. Then there is, oh, they're the folks that do not use instruments of music in worship. There would be some who would say, well, they're always condemning everybody. Or they think they're the only ones that's right and everyone else is going to go to hell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to know that we are a people that love God and that love one another and the souls of all people. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Matthew 22, verse number 40. And of course, if a person says, I love God and hates his brother, then the Bible says he's a liar in 1 John 4 and verse 20. Now, granted, there are some people that are kind of hard to love. I'm sure that's not you and I. But we must realize that in spite of all of our human frailties, we are to learn to love one another. Love is a strong motivating factor. It was because of the love of God that he sent his only begotten son to die for the sins of the world. Look at John 3 and verse 16. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we want to be known that we do love God. We want to be known as a people that love all people. We are also an evangelistic people. The church of our Lord that loses its zeal for lost souls will end up like the church at Ephesus. You remember the church at Ephesus? In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul gave warning to the church at Ephesus. He reminded them that from among your own selves. He's talking about a departure from the faith. Then when you turn over to the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there is the church of Ephesus. They had lost their first love. Ladies and gentlemen, a congregation of the church of our Lord can get so comfortable, so used to the surrounding of a beautiful building, that they lose their love for lost souls. When a congregation no longer has a desire to reach the lost with the gospel, that congregation is doomed to be lost. The Great Commission, as one preacher said, has been repeated untold numbers of times, but we have yet to repeat what the early church did in taking the gospel to every creature. Every person has the right to have the opportunity to hear the truth, believe the truth, and obey the truth. Now, you're listening to this broadcast throughout this nation and in foreign countries. Now, my friend, remember, the Lord said, take heed how you hear, Luke 8, verse 18. Also, take heed what you hear, Mark 4, 24. Now, you can turn on any radio broadcast, television programs. You're going to hear one thing after the other. How are you going to determine who is right and who is wrong? It could be that everyone is wrong that you're listening to, but there is truth. Truth. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. John 8:32. And so, my friend, it is the truth that's in our bones that we are crying out to a lost world. Like Jeremiah, I'm reminded of chapter 22 and verse 29. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. He described the word of the Lord in his heart. His word is in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I cannot contain. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Ladies and gentlemen, we who are faithful members of the Lord's church, we are people that not only love God and love one another, but we are an evangelistic group of people. We strive to go to our friends and neighbors and to teach them the glorious gospel of Christ. And then we're also a people that follow the Bible. You have your opinion, and I have mine. Now, I have at this very moment something I'm holding in my hand. Of course, you cannot see it, but you can form an opinion as to what is in my hand. What do you think is in my hand? Do you think it's a pocket knife? Do you think I'm holding coins in my hand? Someone says you don't hold anything. Well, you have a right to your opinion. Now, let me ask you this question. Would you be willing to risk your eternal soul salvation on your opinion? Oh, no. We don't want to do that because an opinion is just something that we think and we could be wrong. By the way, I'm holding a top off of a water bottle in my hand. There's a big difference in opinion and thus saith the Lord. The Word of God is always right. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant, all authoritative Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. When we speak, we must speak according to the oracles of God, Peter says, and 1 Peter 4:11. There are too many people in this world that are hearing any and everything other than the Word of God. I remember many years ago, I was in a discussion with a denominational preacher who did not believe that all of the Bible was the inspired Word of God. Now, why in the world that man called himself a preacher, I have no idea. But I know this, we had a big discussion. And then a few days later, he invited me to come to his denomination and to speak. I said, I will, if you will let me speak on the subject, why I believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, all authoritative Word of God. Do you know he accepted that? I went and I presented the truth. Whether they accepted it or not, I cannot tell you that. But I discharged faithfully the truth about the Word of God. It is the Word of God that we go to. It's the Word of God that we learn how to become a child of God by faith, repentance, confession, baptism. It's the Word of God that we learn how to live our Christian life. It's the Word of God that we live and hide in our heart that we might be stronger people and fight the many battles that come to us in this life. Yes, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. That's why preachers are not to preach their opinion, politics, bird hunting, and any and everything else, but to preach the Word. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. It's the charge from Almighty God. And so, my friend, is there any word from the Lord being spoken where you attend, or is it just opinions? We also want to be known as a people that have convictions. I wouldn't give you a dime for a fella that didn't have any convictions at all. Someone said, here's a fella and his view of life. He's for some things, he's against some things, and he's just for. Well, that's not much convictions, is it? Now, I may not agree with a fella on many things religiously, but I do admire a man for his convictions. The Bible says that we're to earnestly contend for the faith in Jude verse 3. That is, we are to give a defense of the system of Christianity. Now, the faith in Jude 3 is not our personal faith like our faith in God, in Christ. The faith is having reference to the system of Christianity. Does your preacher give a defense of Christianity? Why it is the religion, not Judaism or any other religion, only New Testament Christianity. We're to give a defense for that. We're to be ready always to give an answer to every man that's the answer, ask us of the hope that's within us with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. Paul was set for the defense of the gospel in Philippians 1:17. We're to have convictions. A lot of people don't have any convictions at all. We live in a day and time in which people are scared to death to voice their strong convictions on what the Bible teaches on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. How to become a member of the church you read about in the Bible. What is required of a person after they become a child of God. There are a lot of subjects that are not spoken on anymore in pulpits because people are afraid they will run people off. Ladies and gentlemen, it is because of the love of people's souls that we present the truth. Now, always remember this, that the truth is going to do the following. It can make people happy. The truth can make people mad. The truth can make people sad or glad. It's going to do one or the other. I remember years ago in my actually now 53 years of attempting to preach the gospel, I was preaching at this large congregation, and this fella was looking at me, and as he looked at me, his face turned as red as a beet. I knew truth hit payday. Now, when I think about it, time passes. So I've actually been preaching the gospel about 58 years. I know that's a long time. I understand that, and I'm still trying to do it. But I tell you, friends, we need to have convictions. We're to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:10 or 12. We do know this. There are many false prophets that have gone out into the world, John says in 1 John 4 and verse 1. Not everything that everyone teaches is in the Bible. We must go to the Bible to find who is right and who is wrong. Now listen to me. It's not a matter that I'm right and everybody's wrong. No, no. It is the case that the inspired Word of God is right. And you and I are just as right as we follow the Bible. Let's go back to the Bible. And then we want to be known as a people that are members of the church that you read about in the Bible. I want you to think a minute. It's hard for people to think in terms of the church that you read about in the Bible without thinking about denominationalism. They think of denominations because they are members of denominations. But I want you to think of this. The church you read about in the New Testament was not a denomination. There was not a denomination upon the face of the earth for several centuries. They were simply Christians. They all believed the same thing. They all practiced the same thing. Yes, there were those who were trying to disrupt the church and bring in false doctrine, and they were dealt with. For an example, when you turn in your Bible, you're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, they had preacher writers over there. They thought that one person's baptism was greater than another. Why, no, no, Paul pleaded with them, and he pleaded with them to be of one mind, to be united in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You'll notice over here in the 10th verse, now beseech you, brethren, by the name, that is, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The prayer of our Lord was for the unity of his followers in John 17, 20, and 21. We are pleading for unity of the believers. Our Lord established one church on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew 16, 18. Not churches, singular, one church. That one church is the one that Christ is the only head of and wherein there is salvation. Hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There is one Christ, there is one church, and Christ is the only head of the church. There is no such thing as Christ being the head of the church in heaven and someone being the head of the church on earth. That is not true. Christ is the only head of the church. Also, I want you to take note that salvation is in Christ, and to be in Christ is to be added to the church. For an example, the first sermon that was ever preached, recorded in Acts, the second chapter, the Bible lets us know that those people, when they finally realized that they had convicted and the Son of God, and they had crucified him, the Bible says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God that hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now listen carefully. The inspired text says, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for that is in order to receive the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of salvation, is unto you, you Jews, to them and to your children, to them that are far off, that's the Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How did he call them? Through the gospel. Now stop right here. Back up and look at verse 21. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A lot of people have the idea, just say, Lord, Lord, I'm going to be saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. These people are calling upon God to save them. And God's message was, if you want to be saved, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Bible further says, verse 40 of chapter 2, with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The 41st verse, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The saved ones were added to the church by the Lord. There's no voting. No, sir. The Lord does the adding to the church. The church you read about in the New Testament should have men when they reach the qualifications of to become an elder. You have elders, 1 Timothy 3. You have deacons. You have the evangelists in the church of our Lord. That, my friend, is a simple organization of the church you read about in the Bible. Now I want you to think of this as we have just a few more minutes in our broadcast here. And that is, if every denomination went out of existence, could you have simple, pure New Testament Christianity? Could you do that? Someone says, well, you're saying you're right and everyone's wrong. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Bible is right, and I'm just as right or wrong as I follow the Bible. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. If every denomination was removed from the face of the earth, could you have pure New Testament Christianity? The answer is right. Certainly you can. We want to know, also be known as a people who are striving for unity. Now, unity is hard to have. You're always having people that are always trying to bring things into the church that are not scriptural. That's always been the case. You're going to have liars a lot of times in the church. That's right. That happened in the Bible, did it not? What about Ananias and Sapphira? Why, they were lying about their giving to the Lord. Lying about it. And when you turn over to Acts chapter 5, you're going to read there, and God struck them dead for lying. I'm thankful to the Lord. God doesn't strike my brethren dead for lying about their giving. But nevertheless, we find that they were trying to disrupt the church. We find that there were false teachers in the days of the early church, and there have always been false teachers. You don't think for a moment that the devil is going to try to leave the church alone, do you? His objective is to destroy the church of Almighty God. His objective is to try to destroy each and every individual member. And I'm so sad to tell you, friend, he's having success in far too many places right there. Unity is a beautiful thing, the unity of the believers. Someone says, well, we can't all agree. Why can't we all agree? We can believe what the Bible says. After all, the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, all-authoritative Word of God. That's what it is. God has given us the Bible that we might study it, that we might believe it, that we might obey it. Christianity is not difficult to understand. You don't have to have 15 PhDs to try to explain to you simple New Testament Christianity. We should strive for the unity. Division is a terrible thing. If we bite and devour one another, look at Galatians 5, we would destroy one another. Then we certainly want to be known as a people that are striving to live a godly life. Now, are we living a sinless life? Why, no. No one does that. Someone says, well, if you're a Christian, you're not going to sin. I've never read that in my Bible. What I have read in my Bible is 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 7 and a few verses following. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we, that's children of God, friend, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we as Christians confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now go to chapter 2. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. That's a big old word. He is the appeasement for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And thereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We strive to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. The blood cleanses us. When we sin through human weakness, we ask God to forgive us, and he cleanses, continually cleanses us. God is on our side. God wants you to go to heaven. He does not want you to be lost. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Now listen, and to come into a knowledge of the truth. Now, my friend, God wants you to be saved. We want you to be saved. We're striving to live for the Lord. Yes, we want to know as a people that really love God and love one another. Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel as they did on the day of Pentecost? They were struck in their heart when they realized they had crucified the Son of God. And they were told what to do. They had to believe in Christ to be the Son of God, John 3:16. They repented of their sins, Luke 13:3. They confessed Christ to be the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. They were immersed in water in order to receive the remission of their sins, Acts 2:38. And then they came up, they came out of the watery grave, Romans 6:3-4, there was newness of life. Notice carefully. If they were saved by faith and faith alone, there would be newness of life before they came out of that watery grave. But the Bible says they came out of the watery grave, and then there was newness of life. Now, when you turn to Romans 6, you're going to read right here that they had obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered them. Being made free from sin, they became the servants of righteousness. What was that form of doctrine? Baptism is a form of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They came forth, being born of water and of the Spirit, John 3:5, and the Lord added them to the church, and you can become a church that you read about it in the Bible, the Lord's church. That, my friend, is the word of truth. Think about it. Obey it. If we can help, please let us know. Thank you very much.